Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's Friday at 11:30 Central Time, and you know what time that is. It's time for
I know what time that is.
It's what time?
Training tech talk time.
Yes.
And you get a training tech talk time. And you get a training tech talk time.
That's fine. I have an Oprah magazine right here in the floor of my office.
Ha ha ha! I channeled Oprah into
you
our
Oprah'd
show.
It. You Oprah'd it. Instead of Googling it, you Oprah'd it.
I Oprah'd it. I owed it.
Yeah, you owed it. There we go. Like that. Yeah. There's a. I created another word last weekend. I was doing a race, which I got third place in my age category. Not going to brag
Are we
or anything,
talking
but...
running with legs? Leg running
yeah.
races?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. And I haven't raced in ages. But anyway, so I was at a friend's house, and she says, you know, I like mimosas without the orange juice.
Well, that's called champagne.
Oh, yeah. I said, we'll just call them FOMOSAs. So now
I like
you know,
that.
Her FOMOSAs, whatever. Anyway, so today we're going to teach people how not to fake it, though, not be faux salespeople. And...
Faux no mo,
which yeah. some do very well, and I know a lot of people are probably on crunch time right now. It's the end of quarter. I even talked to someone yesterday. It was their end of their fiscal year, especially if you do a lot of government types of contracts. You know, September's when you're supposed to get your new money. Of course, we all know how that's going in Congress right now. But anyway.
Yeah.
So I thought get into these. Somebody posted this in a LinkedIn group I belong to, but I said five. I miscounted. It's seven. Seven undeniable ways to become a better salesperson. So these are behaviors, performance areas that everybody, I don't care who you, everybody can actually improve on.
I was just going to say that, Nancy, because you know me, I'm going to look for a way to make this bigger and more inclusive. And I was like,
exactly.
You know, these are all great rules to just kind of, you know, use no
right.
matter what you're doing.
Right, so I thought it would be a nice kind of quick hit tips for Friday afternoon, the last Friday of September.
I know, it is so flying, so flying.
Anyway, so tip number one, be a problem solver. Now, this is really coming out into a key strategic initiative for a lot of sales organizations out there. I'm sure a lot of you listening to this have heard of the Challenger sales methodology. Allison, I don't know if you're familiar with the Challenger sales.
I must admit my ignorance on that topic.
Ah, okay. Well, it's been around for a while, but basically, to put it in very simple terms, it's teaching organizations to, rather than be, you know, try to be the friend, try to be the take them out to golf, take them out for lunch, kind of, you know, form the relationship with the people you're trying to sell to be more of a consultant / problem solver to the people you're trying to sell to.
Right.
And, so the thought around that is, well, they don't have time to go out to lunch, go golfing, go whatever. You know, it's just those days are gone. You know, the two martini lunch, done. You know,
I can't believe anybody got anything done after that.
I know.
That's insanity to me.
Be like, where's the couch so I can take a nap now?
Oh, my God.
So the Challenger sales methodology.
What?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, don't even go there.
Yeah. Sorry, I digressed for a moment.
Yeah, you were channeling Mad Men or something.
I was.
Good God. But the Challenger methodology is around, let's figure out what is the challenge that my customer's having, rather than the customer somewhat driving, like, hey, I need to buy six widgets from you. It's, hey, I notice your business is expanding into da-da-da-da-da. You probably haven't thought about this. And so I'd like to, you know, maybe set up a time to introduce you to why your business would benefit from this, whatever that might be. And the other side of that, too, though, is I put a blog post out in LinkedIn maybe 3 weeks ago now, and it was a research study done by a couple of different sales consultant companies, and one of them found that 40% of the people they surveyed that were senior executives in organization did not want sales reps to just go through the demo. So that was completely ineffective. They had much better chance of doing business with someone if they knew how to have these strategic problem-solving conversations. But,
you know, Nancy, I have to say,
yes,
with what you were talking about last week about coaching conversations, it just really seems to magically tie in. Just saying.
Yep. Oh,
anyway,
yeah, exactly.
To interrupt you, but it's like,
yes.
Yeah, hello. You can call it strategic consultant, but it's still coaching, right?
Coaching, exactly. The same transfer of behaviors that you're trying to teach. So the other thing that came out in this report, which is really interesting, though, is sales reps have more anxiety around learning how to be a problem solver because they're not as comfortable with having those conversations, especially if I'm, let's say I'm maybe a sales rep for a couple of years, you know, had a couple of good seasons under my belt, and now the organization is shifting to this challenger sales methodology, which means I need to move up higher in the food chain of who I'm having conversations with in the organization.
Right.
So I'm maybe 26, 27, and I'm supposed to be calling the CEO, CFO, CIO. I'm going to be more intimidated by number one, it's harder to get to that person. That's half the battle right there. But when you get a hold of that person, being comfortable enough coming off as an expert to someone else that is that more senior than you in the organization.
And I have to say, Nancy, there is, and I'm sure you're going to support me in this comment because I've only experienced this in a very small way, but it was still very clearly the point was made. Talking to a CEO, talking to a CFO, talking to a CIO, depending on who you have to talk to, is a very different conversation than it is having. It's not like having that same conversation that you would have at maybe the lower level that you're having. There's a focus that's different. And,
right.
And a directness that is needed, a confidence that is needed, and a conciseness of what it is you're saying, because their time is very tight, which can often make you very nervous about having that conversation.
Yes.
Especially if you're like me, who is not a concise speaker in any way, shape, or form. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there, but I know that's my challenge. And you know,
right.
God
and so understanding, not that I'm a big going to get making money off of promoting Challenger, but Challenger's coming out with a new book called The Persona of the Buyer. I'm not sure that's the actual working title, but it's basically saying, think through the personas of the people that you are trying to sell to. And in a lot of organizations, you're selling to multiple people. There's more than one decision maker in the process. But if you think of, I'm going to sell to the CIO, what's their personality characteristics? How do I get through to them? How do I, you know, hit the nail on the head, so to speak, because they're only going to give me a few seconds on the phone or in a passing in the hallway or whatever. So look at the persona. So do some pre-call planning, so this is another skill that's not on the list. You could certainly make it number 8. But when it says be a problem solver, the very next thing it says is offer information.
Yeah.
Number 3, conquer your fear of rejection. So those three are so closely tied together in the scenario that we just illustrated of conquering your fear, offer information. So if you're going to call a CIO or CFO, you better have something that is noteworthy, something that's going to catch them off guard, something that's going to be maybe a form of research that's relevant to what's going on, or maybe a competitor comparison that they might be sensitive to. So, and that takes time. You have to put in the effort to do your homework before you pick up the phone or try to run into them at some conference or some other event.
I swear to you, Nancy, this is the situation, because once you get that open door, it's like, I have to say, in acting, it's like having that big audition with, you know, Spike Lee or something. You've got to practice that with somebody who's really going to help you understand that. Like, I found this in an interview that I did that they were like, okay, I'm a CEO, sell me. And,
yeah.
You know, I got through something 3 minutes, and he's like, I'm not interested anymore. And it's like, oh my God, you're right. I'm not getting to the details that I need to as quickly. I'm not coming up with an opening line, a headline, so to speak,
mm-hmm,
with
mm-hmm.
what I'm going to be saying to this person, and really focusing on getting that out, listening, yet being confident.
I like your headline analogy. You know, if you think about that,
good.
what would stop? You know, if I'm an executive, I'm flipping through the Wall Street Journal or flipping through some website, maybe Forbes or whatever I read on a regular basis. What would make me stop and want to at least skim the first paragraph?
Right.
And so one of the things you said was, okay, what are you selling me today? I would say, I'm not here to sell you anything today, would be my response,
mm-hmm.
which would take them, oh, okay, well, this is different, you know, or, okay, what's your next line, you know?
Right, but at least they've stopped, and they're still asking for more information.
But a junior salesperson, and I've been there, might say, oh, well, I'm just here to talk about, you know, they get kind of flustered, or it's very apparent that they're doing a gut reaction to what they just heard them say and trying to, oh, well, I was told you're looking for blah, 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 you know, or I was referred to you by, you know, because sometimes that's how you actually get your foot in the door is somebody else is giving you a kind of a warm referral.
Absolutely.
But you're right. Get it rehearsed. Think of the headline. Think of, you know, kind of the opposite of what they're expecting, the opposite behavior of what they're expecting. So being a problem solver is really the opposite of I'm here to sell you something.
Absolutely. And I think the point is, so it's not a problem to say what you see the problem as being. Or, yeah, you've got an issue with marketing and transportation. Your logistics are a mess. But here's a way you can solve that your
right.
competitors aren't thinking about. And it's, I think that, you know, we always think about bringing up problems as being, you know, the
negative.
Person that's negative, the negative
right.
Nelly, the Debbie Downer. To be funny, but to literally think about that, but to present a solution that quickly after that, I've thought of a couple of things. I've thought of three different things that might appeal to you in a way that would work for your company, where you're going, and where we see the market going.
Yeah.
If you have time,
that,
you take my card and call me, or I'll
yeah.
be around, da-da-da, come see.
Right.
Because I think sometimes with people, especially at that level, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think sometimes the element of flirting is, and I don't mean that in a sexual way, I mean the idea of interesting somebody in a future conversation, interesting somebody in a future interaction.
Right, right, exactly. And that's hard for, usually if you get hired as a sales rep, you're an extrovert, you want to be everybody's friend, you're the part life of the crowd, that kind of personality. And so what I'm saying to people that are introducing this new methodology to people, you have to help these people learn to not necessarily be wanting to be their friend and behaving in a way that doesn't rock the boat, as you were saying.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes bringing up problems will help that person you're trying to sell to gain respect, gain their respect, because you had balls enough, so to speak, to say, hey, you know, your business has been doing well, but I did some research, and if you don't stop X, Y, and Z, I see that your next three quarters, you're going to miss your mark, and your shareholders are going to be really upset.
I honestly say there is nothing more arresting to somebody than hearing the truth that they thought was not obvious. Again, in a very careful situation, not in a, I mean, you
yeah.
can certainly do that in a way like a press conference, which is very shocking, like somebody, and that has a certain impact. It still has an impact in a very small audience as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, doing it in a way that is sensitive and knowing that you're looking further down the road to having a relationship and conversation with this person. If they choose
right.
to have that kind of awareness. I think there's a point, too, where you realize a company isn't going to see that what you're offering is of value to them. I think they're going to just be blind to that. And sometimes you just have to go, okay, well, I've done that. I'm going to move on to somebody else who can utilize what
right.
I'm trying to help them with.
But I will caution
I think that
you.
Is also
you have to be
alluring.
Careful. You have to be careful, though, because I know when I've had somebody tried to sell me life insurance. They used the or disability insurance. They're like, well, you know, if you're out of work for 6 weeks, you know, your bills are going to start to pile up. You know, those kinds of things, like the what ifs happens. You know, those to me are kind of like, I get. It could be a catastrophic situation, you know, or those, you know, so you have to be really careful around the problem that you're presenting to them. And really good sales reps do it in a way of it becomes revealed in the conversation as if it becomes that other person's idea. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So you start, you know, and that's more the spin selling technique that's been around forever and ever, where you start to ask them, drill in question. Now, what would happen if, you know, I see that this is happening and you're facing layoffs, so what's the impact of X, Y, and Z? And based upon that impact, this is going to trickle down to the, you know, so it's just a matter of kind of helping, but you're doing it in a consultative way so that the person you're speaking to will decide whether or not they're going to open the door for you to reveal what their problem is and then say, well, it just so happens I have research around how you could resolve this issue. And, you know, and if at some point in time you want to see how we can support this solution, be happy to talk to you further.
Yeah, I think that that's one of those kinds of conversational techniques that is handled carefully. I think you've got to practice it.
Yep.
And it's got to come off authentic. I think you've got to build some sort of connection before you can even endeavor those questions, because if you don't, the tower that you're building of questions is going to come off very shallow.
As too interviewee, you know, like I've got my list. I've got, okay, if I ask these questions, I know if I get all the answers, here's the magical solution. So, yeah, you have to be very cautious. And like I said, it is something that's not natural for everyone. It is something you can learn, but you have to have some way of practicing it. So that's why,
we'll
push
yourself.
For movie role play, but yeah.
And going back and listening to it and kind of, absolutely. I think movie role play is definitely great. I think using the Emodi meter stuff is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then also practicing with a live person too. And then
going
back and working the record options there again, and then going back with a live person.
Yeah, because ask them to trip you up. You know, ask them, you know, I've gone through, you know, Moby role play. I've gone through the simulation. You know, the character's always going to say the same thing. So let them get to a certain comfort level of skill, but then maybe get in front of a live person and trip them up a little bit.
Yeah. I got to go back to this one question that I absolutely love from The Wolf of Wall Street, and I know you like to reference it too sometimes. But the idea of sell me this pen.
Yes.
It's so simple.
It is so
simple. And you hear the mistakes made. Well,
yep.
It's got...
And everybody, it's the features, it's sleek, it fits, it's ergonomically. Nope, sell me this pen. It keeps going to that...
I need you to sign this contract.
Yeah.
Oh, I need a pen.
Oh, well, I just happened to have one right here.
It's just backwards. But it's really powerful.
And that
and I
guy
think it turns back
did
to
very well.
What you just said as far as doing it in a way that it makes the other person they pull the sale from you, then you're pushing the sale to them.
Right. So in our next kind of 10 minutes here, let's go through the last
please.
Yeah. So ask for contact information. Now, this is something, again, I'm guilty of it, seasoned people, but when you're, you know, if you get really good, so that we have a customer called Frontline Selling, and they are masters at teaching people how to do this. They have it, they call it collecting the DNA of the organization. For example, if you get an admin assistant on the phone, and you've been referred to the decision maker or whatever, however you got there, you can say, you know, I was sending them email, can I confirm their email address is abc@abc.com? Number one, you're going to confirm if that's their email address, so you have that to as another form of communicating. And then you might say, you know, I was also instructed to talk to CIO, CFO, whatever. Do they have an admin assistant? And then hopefully extract that information. And so if I were to email them, their email address would be da-da-da-da. So sometimes you'll get pushback on that. But if you've already had kind of an initial conversation, maybe you've contacted them a couple of times, they'll typically provide that information to you. So I've used that. It's worked very well for me. But even in social situations, social selling now is very, you know, popular, you know, in LinkedIn, Twitter, you know, getting your Twitter handle. Some people are now real big Twitter people. I don't think Instagram yet is a more of a B2B scenario yet, but, you know, think of the social networking aspects of what you do and start collecting DNA evidence from there. Ask for the next appointment. You know, again, sometimes you leave it very vague, like, okay, I'll call you next week. No, don't ever leave it open-ended. So since I have you on the phone, why don't we go ahead and set up a meeting? Even if something comes up, we'll have it on our calendar.
Absolutely.
And it could just be a check-in call. It could just be, I just want to review the material I sent you and maybe focus on a couple of areas of interest that they may or may not have caught at first glance. Or maybe it's to introduce them to somebody else or get you introduced to somebody else. And they were like, oh, you know, again, looking at the personas of who you're selling to, is there someone else that is involved in these conversations? And maybe could we schedule a time to have them in on the next meeting? Those types of things.
Right.
The number six seems like a, oh, duh, well, duh, but I'm guilty of it. You're probably not as guilty of it as I am. Taking better notes.
Yeah.
And that actually will also, for you know, so if you're not really good at it, sometimes what I do, and I've seen this in the past, where before you have the meeting, make a list of what you want to get out of that meeting and put it in maybe a, like a form. So I might get first confirm their name, confirm if there's anyone else involved in the decision-making process, confirm that, you know, all these things, like, not necessarily first, I know insurance agents, when they first meet you, like, okay, get your date of birth, get your da-da-da, I mean, they have their little checklist of things. I don't mean to do that necessarily, but if there's critical information that you're hoping to walk up, what's your goal for the conversation? Write that down. And if you are a person like me where you just see the goal and you forget the minute details of what you really want to extract from that, write those down as like little bullets. And that'll help you as you're in this session, and they'll respect that. You know, if they're saying, or you even say, do you mind if I take notes while we talk? Now, some people type while you're doing that. That bugs the crap out of me. I know it's some people are better at that, but it's just like you hear the keyboard clicking away. Like, hold on, I'm taking some more notes. I'm like, okay.
Are you really paying attention to me now? I don't know.
Yeah,
right.
Are you taking a you know, car rental reservation? So, yeah.
I see, Mr. Sanders, we have you down for a Ford Elantra, and it will be waiting for you in Seattle. Sorry.
Exactly. And make sure it's reserved. Well, and that also, too, if you're really good at it, you know, it's just, again, practice. Say now, okay, so let me just review my notes. What we stated was duh, and you're at this stage, you know, whatever it might be, that just gives people the impression that you are well-trained, you're conscientious of what was being said, you're paying attention to what's being said, and that there's, you know, hopefully some other. So my assignment, my takeaway is duh, your takeaway is whatever, right?
Right.
And so give them some action items to follow up on. As you know, it could be as simple as you're going to get me the name of so-and-so, or you were going to pass on the PowerPoint that I'm going to send to you, and then I'll call that person on such-and-such date. Just all these little baby steps, but they, oh God, they just make such a huge difference in pushing the sales process along versus letting it drag out. So this note-taking, it may seem like it's not such a huge skill, but it is. And I personally need to, you know, do a better job of that myself.
It speaks volumes about the process that they don't see behind the scenes,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's
right.
accurate or not, I think it speaks volumes.
Yes, I agree. So now we have 5 minutes left, and the last
what
one
do we
is,
have to finish? We've got a few more things to do, right?
Yeah, well, we have
learn
from
your
colleagues.
Exactly. Hey.
So one of the things that I talk about in my How Your Voice Can Make or Break the Sale, I ask people, you know, go through this whole presentation around the tonality, the way you say something is so critical. So I said, listen to someone that is really successful in your department or in your company, regardless if it's sales or not. Somebody that really is kind of a mover and a shaker. And just observe their behavior, the way that they speak, the way that they interact with people. Are they, you know, composed? Do they always have an upbeat attitude? You know, what is it about them that draws people to them? You know, so that's one observation you can make. The other one is, what products are they selling? You know, what's selling out there? If you're being told, oh, you got to push such and such, but you can see the person sitting next to you somehow has found a really creative way of getting this other product to market or this other service, maybe it has higher margins, and so they're kind of focused on that. So maybe speak to your sales manager about, like, well, you know, I know you want me to push this, and it's kind of low margin and not as much commission. I'd really rather sell this. So how can you help me, Mrs. Sales Manager, you know, get to that point or sell that? So just, you know, it's – and I remember one guy I used to sell with years and years ago, we were always – required to make at least 60 to 80 dials a day. So
wow.
Inside B2B, I'm calling to the other businesses, and our software's tracking that. He would barely make 30 a day. But he always met his quotas. So I said, well, you know, he's obviously having longer phone conversations with people, so maybe one other metric that we should be measuring on is call time. Average call time versus just pure dials.
Sure.
Because he was, you know, he had much stronger relationships with his customers. They were helping him kind of sift through the menagerie of, you know, who else could potentially be a, you know, a good contact for you. He spent a lot of time going over how well the product would fit in or be more strategic about, well, what else do you have going on? You know, how can we help support other initiatives that you've got going on versus, all right, because people do what's measured, right? And, you know, the sales managers would always say, you know, you really need to contact more people. Well, what happened, which I think was mismanagement, is they started to strip away some of his territory. Which,
wow.
On one hand, if I was a sales manager, I'm thinking, well, we're leaving money on the table. You're not able to contact all the people that you can in your database. So let's hand off some of these people, you know. And it really didn't hurt him in the short term, but they kept kind of doing that year after year.
Oh.
And it became a demotivator for the guy because it's like, well, criminy, now I'm selling to the same people, but, you know, after 3 or 4 years, you've kind of saturated them.
Right.
And so, you know, but the one thing I learned from him is he was much more laid back, very consultative, but not pushy. And, you know, so you want to look at what are the observations that I can make and what can I make changes about that still fit into the metrics that I'm being measured by. I mean, because some people
right.
are, they're glad handlers and backslappers and they've got their good old boy network. Well, that doesn't work for everybody. And, you know, and after time, that probably won't work for that person. But so you just, you know, make a judgment call on the behaviors you are observing, how well they would transfer to the people you're selling to, and the types of products and services that you offer. So on that note, I think we'll wrap it up for today on Training Tech Talk. So if you have any questions about some of the products that we offer, we'd be happy to consult with you and have a nice dialogue. If you go to knowledgeshift.net, lots of resources out there. And also if you have a topic or a guest that you'd like to be on any of our episodes, just send me an email, nancy@knowledgeshift.net. All right, Allison, we did it again. Thank you for joining
us. We did it. Out of the park, Nancy. Out of the park.
All right.